Well, that was quite some rain, wasn't it? We were talking this morning, Dan and I were talking, if we had actually ended up having the guys fishing trip, we needed to have gills, I think, to stay breathing. It was pretty wet. So we weren't able to pull off the guys fishing weekend that we had planned for just Friday and Saturday, but we will plan to do that this year sometime. We'll still make it happen and do an overnight fishing trip, because I got some prizes. We have to give them away. We have to have a fishing trip so we can give away the fishing prizes, right? I'm going to mention Dan twice here, but I told Dan last week that, Dan, I got some prizes. His eyes just lit up. Says, prizes? What do you say, Dan? He says, I'll have to go to the back of the closet and get that special lure or something, right? I'm like, if you got one that catches fish, why don't you use it all the time? But apparently he just saves it for prizes, so. But it was good to get rain, for sure. The rain is a blessing, and I appreciate your word this morning, Bill, just on a spiritual rain as well, too. Kennedy and I were actually praying that this morning as we were driving into town on our way to music practice, that just as we had rain in the natural, we declare rain in the spirit and God's presence in the spirit, that it moistens the soil of our hearts, right, and allows us to receive God's word and allows it to bear fruit in our lives. Let's just pray before we start today, and we'll declare that again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. The presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that brings life to everything that we do. And so as we talk here today, and as I speak, Lord, and as I share with the words that I believe that you've given me, Lord, I declare, Lord, that you give me utterance, Lord. I believe I receive that by your Holy Spirit. We also declare, Lord, that those who hear your word today, Lord, and even those who might hear it in the future, Lord, that it will bring, it'll just go down deep into the soil of their hearts, Lord, that this will be, as we talk about revelation knowledge, Lord, that it will become revelation knowledge, that we will receive revelation today as we talk about your word and how we receive all the truths that you intend us to walk in. So we thank you, Lord, for just revelation today as we study your word. Amen. So I had the chance to talk to you starting a couple weeks ago on this aspect of receiving revelation knowledge, and we spent a while talking about that. We talked about what revelation knowledge is, what it represents, what it does for us, and we talked a little bit about spirit, soul, and body. So as we talk today, there'll be a little bit of review things in there, because I know not everyone here was able to be there a couple weeks ago, and I believe there's some new things as well that the Lord has given me. Since that was 2 weeks ago that we talked, has anyone had a chance to receive a revelation from the Lord? Has the Lord spoke to anything new and fresh to you in the last couple weeks? I see some heads nodding. Revelation knowledge is good. You know, I was sharing a story with Mary. It's funny. It was funny to me anyway, and it was more like a lesson to me than revelation knowledge, but just funny how the Lord speaks. I was on my computer actually getting ready to prepare a sermon. I think this was on Friday, and an email came through for some typefaces, and I do some of the design work here at the church, and so for making slides or posters or things like that, it's just like a font, right? Typeface, and it was like some pretty neat typefaces that as a designer, I thought, hey, those are cool. And there's like 40 of them for $50 US, which is a pretty good price, because usually a typeface might be $10 or $20. And these were really neat, and I knew I would use them, and so I'm getting ready to buy them. And I just felt like just this little voice say, don't buy those. And I'm thinking, that can't be you, Lord. These are awesome. Look at these type. I look through all the typefaces again and thinking, no, the Lord definitely would want me to buy these typefaces. So I register for this. I had to register to make this purchase, right? So register for this site. And as I'm getting ready to buy these typefaces, I see that there's an email that comes into my inbox from this website that I'm going to buy, but I just kind of ignore it. I think it's like a confirmation, a registration or something like that. And then just before checkout, I thought, well, I should check out and see if there's a coupon. How many of you guys know if you're ever buying anything online, check and see if you can find a coupon first, right? Just type in the name of the website and coupon. And oftentimes you can get 5 or 10% off, right? And so I found a coupon. It was expired. So I'm like, whatever. I'll just pay the $50 US. It's still a really, really good buy. Complete that transaction. And then I go back and check my email, and it says, welcome to Retro Font Company or whatever. Here's $20 off your first order. And I thought, that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. He didn't want me to not buy those typefaces. He just wanted me to wait on buying those typefaces until I had read my email, right? And so it's interesting how just in small things like that, we learn and we get revelation and the Lord speaks to us. And next time, I'm going to be more sensitive and more wise to what the Holy Spirit is speaking. this aspect of revelation, I was thinking about how we receive revelation from the Lord, and sometimes it's quick, sometimes it happens right away, sometimes it's a process. And in my mind, it kind of seems like, you know, the dawn of a new day. If you've ever been up to witness the dawn, that's kind of a neat thing, isn't it? But the sky starts to get light, and then slowly pink and bright, actually long before you see the sun, right? It might even be an hour or two before you can actually see the sun. It just takes a while, and that dawn just kind of creeps over the horizon in the east, and eventually gets bright. And some revelation comes that way. It's just kind of like a dawn that breaks on our spirit and on our minds, and it takes a while. Other revelation is just like a spotlight. It's just like, boom, and there it is, and it's just totally illuminated, and we just see it suddenly, and it quickens in our spirit, and then we just add it to our belief system. And so revelation can come both ways. And I was thinking about some of the revelation in my life, and a story that Candace likes to tell, because it makes fun of me a little bit, it's a story of when we were dating, and the process of me realizing that she was actually interested in me. And we used to spend time together when we were at Bible college, and we'd go for walks and things like that. And I thought I just really enjoyed spending time with Candace. She was lots of fun, and she just had lots of energy, and she was really good looking, and made the other boys jealous, which was a plus. And but I can remember there was a point where I asked her a question, and I said, because she's been holding hands with me, and I don't know what it was, but I just wasn't catching on to the fact that this girl was interested in me. and I said to her, I said, like, do you hold hands with other guys? And she looked at me like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, and you know, I think it just seemed too good to be true. It couldn't be quite possible that this girl could be interested in me, right? But she made it clear at that point in time that no, she didn't go around, you know, just on all these walks and holding hands with other guys. But I was the one. So revelation kind of dawned on me, right? Like that was like the morning sun. It just took a while for that. But from that point on, it was like a spotlight. It was on. I knew that I was in a relationship. So I shouldn't have shared that, actually. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1. She probably would have told you anyways if you spent any amount of time with her. So, 2 Peter 1:2 is a scripture that we read last week, and it's a scripture where Peter is introducing us to Revelation, and he's wanting to just teach a quick lesson on what Revelation does for us. And I actually, last time we spoke about this, I read a lot of other verses. I'm just going to just read verse 2 today. This is 2 Peter 1:2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And the word knowledge in that verse, growing in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, that word knowledge really means revelation. It means an exact knowledge, a spiritual knowing. And it's a clear and illuminating insight that's been revealed to us, right? It might be something that, you know, has taken some time. It might be something that's more sudden. But we see it. We see it clearly. We see it in God's Word. And we choose to believe it because we see it really clearly. And when we increase in revelation, Peter says, what happens? Well, you're going to increase in grace and peace. That's the way the kingdom works. So more revelation, more grace, and more peace. Knowledge without revelation, we learned the last time we spoke, that's just the world's knowledge. That's just information, right? And we know that if you watch the news or if you pay any attention to what is taught in education circles, for example, the world's knowledge is changing. It's increasing, but what the world chooses to believe about things in life often changes as well too, right? And so the result is that the world's knowledge is shifting and it's unstable. And I believe one of the results of that is oftentimes a lack of peace. There's an unrest. There's an unsettling because the world's knowledge is changing and people think, well, I thought I had it sorted out, and now it's suddenly changed, and now I'm supposed to believe something different. And there's an unsettling that comes with that. But God's Word is not like that at all. God's Word is true, and it's unmoving, and it's solid, and it's a firm foundation that we can build our lives on. And so when we get revelation knowledge from God's Word, it's not settling, but it gives us more grace and more favor. And that's what we're looking for. And the kingdom of God is built through revelation knowledge. So every word of Scripture that was ever written, every word that you can find in your Bible right here came through revelation knowledge. Every prophetic word, every prophecy that's in God's word. Every prophetic word that you've ever heard uttered that was of God's spirit, that came through revelation knowledge. And really any of the truths and doctrines that we've taken from God's word and he's revealed it to perhaps us or other people who've taught it to us, and it might not be just recently or it might be years or even decades ago, but that cumulative truth of God's word that is, you know, built some of the truths and doctrines that we hold so near and dear, that all came through revelation knowledge. And Paul, when he's writing in Colossians, and I have a few verses here that I'm going to read in Colossians. They're kind of scattered throughout my sermon, though. We're not going to read them all at once, but we're going to kind of refer back, because in the second chapter of Colossians, Paul is talking about revelation knowledge, and he's talking about how it is that we come to understand the mysteries of the gospel. And Paul expresses, when he's in the first verse of that chapter, he's saying, it's my desire for the church in Laodicea, and even believers that I haven't met, it's my desire that they learn this particular principle. And then he dives in verse 2, and he says, my goal is they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Revelation and revelation knowledge brings us full riches. That complete understanding is revelation knowledge. So Paul's desire is the believers have the full riches or the full blessing or the full benefit of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And of course, the mystery of God, that's God's master plan, right? Ryan talked about that last week. It's God's plan to redeem mankind, to free us from the curse of sin, and to have us live free, full, and overflowing, abundant lives, even in a fallen world, even on this earth right now that is under the control of sin. We can still live free, flow, and overflowing lives through Jesus and all he's done for us. That's God's plan. The thing is, not everyone believes the fullness of God's plan. Not everyone is bought into the fullness of the plan and all the details. Not everyone has bought into the full riches of complete understanding. And so what happens is Paul gives a warning in the verse after that. In verse 4, he says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. That no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. How many of you guys have had a situation where you've believed something and then someone comes and they're able just to convince you of something totally different. You thought you had it all figured out, and suddenly you realize you're believing a different way. I've had that. Sometimes it's a good thing when that happens, because I might be believing the wrong thing. But other times in life, sometimes we're believing the right thing, and God has led us to believe a specific truth. But if we're not careful, if someone believes something different, and we're listening to them over God's word, we can choose and end up believing the wrong thing as well. And so Paul is saying, be careful. You don't want to get deceived by fine-sounding arguments. And, of course, our enemy, Satan, he's known as the great deceiver, right? And so he's the guy who's creating these arguments. He's the guy who's trying to deceive people and get them to believe something different than God's master plan, God's plan that's going to bring us the full riches of complete understanding. And it's not just, sometimes we think of the enemy and we think, well, he's just trying to keep people from Jesus. He's just trying to keep people that are, they haven't had a salvation experience, and he's trying to prevent them from coming to the Lord. He's trying to prevent them from having a born-again experience. But, of course, Satan is really active in trying to deceive believers as well. So you and I, if we know Jesus and we have a relationship with him, he's still going to try and keep us from the good news. Maybe we've come to, the experience the power of the gospel, and that's the good news. But the enemy is still going to try and get us to believe as little good news as possible, right? I mean, if I can just get them to believe good news in this area and perhaps to discard the good news about healing or the good news about God's plan for healthy relationships or God's plan for abundance in our finances through tithing and sowing and reaping, like, he'll try and limit us to believing as much good news as possible or as little good news as possible. And he'll do that through deception and lies, and he kind of has lots of tricks up his sleeve. Distractions, strife, offense, unforgiveness, these are all things that the enemy will try and bring in our lives to try and limit revelation and try and limit our knowledge of God's good news. I was thinking, I'm going to tell you guys, we're going to talk just a little bit about the parable of the sower, when the sower plants four kinds of seed. I did a little planting recently in our yard, and there was kind of two main areas that I planted some grass seed. The primary purpose of planting the grass seed was we have plans this year to build a riding arena in our property, but we needed to plant some grass in between the riding arena and the garden. It was kind of a dirt patch, and kind of nice to have grass all the way around the riding arena and have things nice and clearly defined. One of the things that I find, you guys, with an acreage is now you have Google Maps, right? You get on Google Maps, and you can see if your fence lines are straight or if your garden is lined up, and you couldn't do that 10 or 15 years, and there's drone footage as well, right? So when you have someone like Thomas came to our property and he flies his drone around, you want that property to look good, right? So you need grass all the way around the riding arena, and so I took time to prepare that ground and packed it down, pull out some weeds, pull out some old clumps of grass, prepared it really nicely, made a nice seed bed, and I planted grass there. But I had some grass left over in the seed broadcaster. I thought, well, maybe there's another place where I can throw some of this seed. And right at the end of a line of trees, which is kind of the place, it's a path where we get through to the garden or the garden shed. It's just kind of the grass is worn out, and there's just some, it's a path, really. There's just some dirt there and some tree roots. I thought, well, I'll put some seed here as well, too, right? So I scattered some seed there, and I took a rake and tried to get the seed, I guess, into the dirt a little bit. Where do you think I'm going to have success growing my lawn, though? On that footpath, as much as that ground that I spent all that time preparing and tilling and making it nice and soft? Probably not going to have the success on the footpath, right? I'm still hoping that something will come up, but Christian got a quad last week, and I see him burning around there, so that grass is going to be hard-pressed to take root for sure. But I've got the area where between the riding arena and the garden, I've got that roped off, and hasn't stopped the dog from running across there, but he did trip on the rope at least, so perhaps it'll stop him the next time from running through there, I'm not sure, but I've got it roped off, so that'll keep Christian from driving the quad in that area, and I'm believing that is going to be a nice piece of lawn in the future. We got, we had some rain last Thursday, a little bit of showers last week, a really good rain right now, and we've been putting rain water on it as well, just by hand, and so I believe that that's going to be a nice lawn. There's those two types of ground, that footpath and then good soil. Of course, those are included in Jesus' parable in Matthew 13. So let's just read that. We're going to start at verse 3. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. I didn't see any birds in my footpath, but it could have happened. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. So the seed that was scattered in the footpath, that was just on the top of the soil, right? It was kind of exposed, birds-like seed, and so they came and they stole that seed. And there was no increase. There was no crop there. There was no harvest there at all. In fact, that was the only piece of ground that the scripture tells us, or the story tells us, that seed, all the rest of the seed took root, but the seed that was on the footpath didn't even get a chance to take root. The birds came and they grabbed it and they took it. And Jesus gives us the explanation for that, reveals the meaning of that parable in verse 19. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and he snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. So when we hear the truth of God's word, the enemy is going to come and, especially if we don't understand it, if there's not revelation, if we can't get a grasp of it right away, that means that seed hasn't taken root, and the enemy is going to come and he's going to try and steal that seed as quickly as he can so it doesn't take root. He wants to get there before there's any chance of that seed, getting deep in our heart and actually having us have revelation and understanding in that area. And I think there's a caution here. There's a principle that it's important for us to understand, that when we hear God's word and it's being taught from a source, say, that's reliable, that's trustworthy, a source that is, has evidence of good fruit, and where, it could be a godly teacher, it could be a solid rock church, it could be another place, a trusted friend perhaps. If you don't quite understand it, it's important to be careful about that. Be careful if you don't quite understand it, because it's quite likely that the Lord is trying to bring revelation in your life. He's trying to bring some truth in your life. But if you don't understand it, you have to protect that until there's an opportunity to have revelation in that area. Because we talk about the fact that revelation doesn't always happen overnight. It's not always instant. And so if it's going to be one of those revelations that's going to take a little bit more time to dawn upon us, you know, like that, like my relationship with Canis, if it's a slower revelation like that, we need to protect that. We need to protect that opportunity for us to receive the word. And the key is, I think, don't let the enemy steal those seeds of revelation before they've had a chance to take root. So, you know, you may have to set it on the side. You might have to think about that thing and say, you know, Lord, I don't quite get that right now, but I believe that you're speaking the truth to me. And so, Lord, I ask you to reveal to my spirit exactly what is this principle that you're trying to get me to receive. And you get into God's word, you find any scriptures you can about that subject, you pray about it, you meditate on it, you give it consideration, and you give every opportunity for that word to take root. Here's the thing this is kind of rabbit trail. I like what you said last week, Ryan, or maybe it's actually quoting Fallon that there's some good carrots on the rabbit trail, right? And so I like that. This is just a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I was thinking about, you know, when we're trying to understand something and we can't quite get it. Do you guys know that the enemy, the devil, can't read your thoughts? He's not able to realize what you're thinking. He doesn't know what you're thinking. And I didn't always understand that. I remember sometimes I would have a thought and I thought, the devil just know what I, you know, he just read my thought. He knows that I thought that thing. Oh boy, I'm in trouble. He can't read your thoughts. The only thing that he's aware of are the words that are coming out of your mouth and the actions that you take based on those words. And he's observing your words, he's listening to your words, he's observing your actions and what you're doing with God's truth. But if there's a little bit of doubt or there's a little bit of a lack of understanding, you don't have to declare that. You don't have to let him in on your secret that you're still giving him that consideration. In fact, you can even have a positive confession. You can say, Lord, I receive your word. I believe your word. And even if the penny hasn't quite dropped, don't give him the hint. Don't give him the hint or the opportunity, because he's got limited resources. And so if you let him know that you're still considering that and you haven't quite received that truth, then he'll take resources from somewhere else and he'll pile them on you to try and steal that word and try to pull it away from you. So don't give him that. He doesn't need an advantage at all. Don't give him that tip. Don't give him that heads up. Just set it in the shelf and say, Lord, I believe your word. I believe that your word is true, and I believe that my spirit bears witness to the truth. And so I believe that you will confirm your word and you will give me complete understanding to everything that you're trying to show me, even if I don't understand it right now. That's just a little tip. And I think that'll help you receive revelation knowledge, and it'll keep the enemy from being able to steal those seeds of revelation in your life. Amen? So what happened to the seeds that fell on the good soil, which is like that soil that I took time to prepare? This is soil where the seeds were able to take root. Matthew 23 says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. So those who hear God's word and then they receive it and they get revelation on it, that means God's word grows deep in our spirit and that seed is able to take root. And that's, you know, the fact that the seed is able to take root, that means revelation came. Revelation knowledge came. It was understood by our spirits, and it was implemented in our lives. And the result is increase. The result is a great harvest, 30, 60, or 100%. You know, you may have, in your Christian walk, you might have said, heard someone say, well, I'm believing for 30-fold increase, or 60-fold increase, or 100-fold increase. That's referring to the scripture, right? And so when we sow seed, we have scriptural precedent. God's word tells us we can believe for 30, 60, or 100-fold increase on our seed. It's up to us what we're going to believe for, and it's up to us how we're going to prepare that soil. But we have the ability, because God is telling us that is our right. When we prepare that seed, we can believe for that kind of harvest. And revelation knowledge brings that kind of increase into our lives. It brings great increase into our lives. And so when we let God's word get deep in our spirit, we protect it through faith, we protect it through how we're speaking and the actions that we're taking, that gives that seed an opportunity to bring abundance into our lives. Let's turn to Colossians 2. We're going to read from 6 to 7. Just as you accepted Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. So Paul is saying, let your roots go down into Christ and let your lives be built on Him, and then your faith is going to go strong and you're going to overflow with thankfulness. Why are you going to overflow with thankfulness when your roots grow strong? Because that revelation is going to bear increase on your life. And who wouldn't be thankful to the Lord for increase, right? If the Lord is bringing 30, 60, and 100-fold increase into our lives are going to overflow with thankfulness at what He's done. The flip side of that, though, is if we have a lack of revelation in our lives, if there's an area where the Lord is trying to teach us something, He's trying to bring us into a new truth, He's trying to give us revelation in an area that's going to open up our understanding and help us order our lives in a way that is more pleasing to Him, order our lives in a way that is more closely aligned with God's Word and His plan for us. If we have a lack of revelation in that area, what happens is we forfeit increase. We give something away. We miss out on something that He has for us. And I believe that God wants us to achieve and receive all the increase that He intends for us. But if we have a lack of revelation, or we let the enemy steal our seed, we can forfeit, and really we end up giving away some of the increase and the blessing that God desires us to walk in. In 2 Peter 8 to 9, we read this last time I spoke as well. This is in the Passion Translation. Peter says, since these virtues are already planted deep within and you possess them in abundant supply, they will keep you from being inactive or fruitless in your pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ more intimately. But if anyone lacks these things, he is blind, constantly closing his eyes to the mysteries of our faith and forgetting his innocence, for his past sins have been washed away. And so someone who has a lack of revelation is like someone who closes their eyes to the mystery of faith. They're not seeking the Lord. They're not, if it doesn't quite make sense to their natural mind, they're just saying, well, I don't understand that. That can't be true. And the result of that is they end up being either inactive, or the scripture says fruitless. So that's a lack of increase. That's a lack of harvest. So a lack of revelation is a lack of increase. Or if we have powerful, life-giving revelation in our lives, that's what's going to bring spiritual and natural increase in our lives. And one of the keys to understanding this whole thing, and we talked about it last week, I'm not going to spend near the time talking about spirit, soul, and body, but this is important for us to really get a handle on this aspect of spirit and soul and body. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's one of the ways that I remember that. I am a spirit. Your spirit is the core of who you are. It's the real you. It's your spiritual center. It's your spiritual heart. It's who you really are. Your spirit is the part of you that's going to live eternally. The Bible is clear about that. Your body doesn't live eternally. Your spirit lives eternally. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And your spirit is the part of you that was changed at salvation, right? It wasn't your soul or your body that was changed at salvation. That transformation process would have started then, but your spirit was completely renewed, completely transformed at salvation. Your body and your soul, that's a process. That can take some time. For some of us, it happens quicker than others, but our spirit was totally new, totally reborn, totally transformed at the point of salvation. Colossians 3, 9 and 10 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, so that's our spirit. Our new man is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. So according to the image of God, our spirit has been renewed. We've been recreated in the image of God. Our spirit man has been recreated in the image of God during the salvation experience. And of course, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says we have the mind of Christ. So we've been recreated in God's image. We have the mind of Christ. 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So we've been recreated in the image of Christ. Our spirit is renewed. We have the mind of Christ. So we have wisdom and understanding that comes from Jesus Christ. And then we know all things. We have complete knowledge. We talked last week about what does this mean? This means that our spirit man is complete. Our spirit man is not lacking anything in this life. Our spirit man has received everything that we need from God to honor Him, to live a life that pleases Him, and really anything that we need to accomplish God's plan and will for our life, it already resides in our spirit man. Our spirit man is not lacking anything. It's fully renewed, but our soul and our body, they need to be renewed. They need to be transformed. That is a process. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the big challenge is, How do we get our soul and body to receive everything that our spirit has already received? How do we get to the place where our soul and our body, so our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, how do we get to the place where our mind and our will and our emotions receive everything that our spirit has already received in Christ? It comes down to the mind, right? The mind is the battleground. We talked about this last time as well. Because our mind is not totally renewed, it often resists revelation knowledge. Those truths that are trying, you know, that have been placed in our spirit and they're trying to come out and they're trying to manifest in our mind, will, and emotions, our mind is not renewed, and so it's going to resist those things. And so we have to put it into obedience to our spirit. Ephesians 4:23 says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man which was created in according to God in true righteousness and holiness." There's so many scriptures about this. I could have easily had a dozen of them that talk about the fact that our minds need to be renewed. They need to be transformed. We need to get the mind of Christ because, you know, our spirit spirit man has the mind of Christ. Our spirit man has that complete knowledge, but it's the soul that still needs to be renewed. Ephesians 4:23, this is in the Passion Translation. I really like how it says it in this translation. It says, "Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you." Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. So there's a few things there. The revelation has been already given to us in our spirit man, and that revelation is what's going to make us new. It's going to be the thing that transforms our soul and our body, that revelation that we've already received in our spirit. And when is the time to do it? Now is the time to do it. The time of salvation. You know, our spirit has been renewed, and now is the time for our mind to be renewed and our bodies to be renewed as well. What is the opposite, though, of that process? The opposite of living according to the Spirit of God inside us, you know, the Bible actually, the King James uses this phrase, and you may have seen it, talks about living carnally minded or living according to the flesh. Living according to the flesh or being carnally minded, that's the words that the Bible uses to talk about not living, that's not living according to the Spirit, that's living according to our mind and according to our body. Really, it's letting the mind call the shots. It's living according to our intellect, living according to only the things that our brain can perceive, that our understanding can wrap our minds around. Or it's also living according to how we feel, right? So living according to our emotions. So I don't feel like that could be right, or just something just doesn't, you know, that just seems too good to be true. There's just no way that can be true. That is basing a decision on our mind and our emotions, and it's living according to the flesh or being carnally minded. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "Someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit, for they make no sense to him. He can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by illumination of the Spirit." Someone living on a human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit. They don't make any sense. And it's true. If you think about the Christian walk and God's master plan, if you just try to rationalize it and just out of your intellect, you know, eventually smoke will just start coming out of yours. It doesn't, you have to come to God through faith. It's your spirit that comes to God. It's your spirit that makes the decision that, yes, God's word is true and his plan for me is real. And I believe he died and he came for my sins. He paid the price for my sins. He rose again. He's in heaven, and he wants me to spend eternity with him in there. That doesn't make sense. You can't rationalize that and make sense of it with your human mind. But if you've come to Christ, you will have had that experience when someone shared that truth with you, or if you read that truth in God's word, something jumped in your spirit. You're like, yes, I believe it. I understand it. That's true. And that's that revelation moment that takes place. And that's receiving a revelation by your spirit, not by your mind, and not through your physical senses. See, our mind and our intellect, they want to process truth in a logical way. And, you know, and some of us are more like that than others. Some of us, you know, everything that we receive in, we want to just have neat rows and, you know, categories for everything. And I believe this, and if this happens, you know, and we kind of see life as a flow chart, and if, you know, if this is yes, then there's these choices, and everything is just all logical and lined up. And some of us are more like that than others, but it's kind of human nature to have everything organized and everything categorized and everything figured out But spiritual truths cannot be understood that way. I'm not saying that we can't understand them, but we understand them through our spirit, not trying to apply our mind and figure everything out through our intellect. If we do that, if we're trying to figure things out by our physical understanding, by the mental brain power that we have, that's letting our mind have the final say rather than letting the spirit have the final say. And I believe that God's truth doesn't have to make sense to our minds, but it needs to bear witness with our spirit. God's truth doesn't have to make sense with our natural mind. I've had people, when we're talking about spiritual things, I've had people say to me, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. How can that be possible? And then they'll say to me, well, how can you believe it? Do you think it makes sense? And I'll say, no. Doesn't make sense to me either, but I believe it. Because as I've chosen to believe it, my spirit has bore witness to that truth, and so I know that I'm believing the right thing. Even though my mind, for me anyway, the concept of living eternally. I don't know if any of you guys have really thought about that. Living and living and living and never dying. If for my personal experience, and ever since I was a young child, if I try and grasp that, eventually my eyes go cross and my tongue hangs out and smoke comes out of my ear. I cannot grasp the concept of living eternally, because here on this earth, everything has a beginning and everything has an end, right? Even our lives here on earth, they have a beginning and they have an end, and that is the way of the world. And so for our natural minds to truly understand, how is it possible that when we go to be with Jesus, that our lives will never end and that we will just keep on living and living? It almost gets to the place for me where your mind thinks, well, I wouldn't even want that. That doesn't seem right. Like, I would get bored or tired or run out of things to do, because that's the way the mind thinks. The mind just can't wrap itself around that concept, right? But we believe it with our spirit, and it doesn't have to make sense with our mind. And that is really a principle for all kinds of spiritual truth. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." The Gentiles walked in the futility of their mind. Of course, the Gentile world that Paul was most exposed to was the Greek world, right? The Greek and the Roman world. And the Greeks and the Romans thirsted for knowledge, especially the Greeks were very well known for just being philosophers and finding out new ideas and new inventions. And actually, many of the things that we understand today are based on some of the knowledge that was discovered during that time of history. And so there was lots of good that came out of it. I can remember, the girls sometimes ask me, how much do you remember from school, Dad? I don't remember a whole lot. But wasn't it, how do you say his name, Archimedes, that discovered the principle of buoyancy, right? That's why my fishing boat can float, because it pushes water out, and it's just an amazing thing. But so the Greeks thirsted after knowledge, and there was people like Archimedes and Plato, and they discovered all kinds of things that we understand and that have revealed natural laws of science to us. But spiritual things cannot be discovered the same way. Spiritual things cannot be. Did I say the name wrong? These girls are laughing at me here. Spiritual things cannot be understood the same way. And if we're trying to grab and grasp spiritual truths with our natural mind, the way the Greeks, the way the Gentiles did, Paul's saying it's futile. Don't do it. You're wasting your time trying to grasp spiritual truths that way. I'm going to show you a couple more scriptures that reinforce that and talk further about that. Go ahead and turn to John, or of course Curtis will have it on the screen here as well. This is John 3:6. So Jesus is teaching again, and John the apostle is recording Jesus' teaching, and Jesus is saying, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." So what parts of us are flesh and what parts of us are spirit? Well, our body and our soul, so our body and our mind and our will and our emotions, that is flesh. And Jesus is saying, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit." What part of us is born of the spirit? That's God's spirit inside of us. That's our spirit. It's born of the spirit. So the part of us that connect with the spirit of God, the part of us that can perceive spiritual things, that's our spirit. And that's where it starts. It's got to start there. I believe that there's no direct connection between spirit and the flesh. We need to come to God through spirit. If we don't understand that, this spiritual reality, that God's truths are grasped through our spirit, if we're just, if we're just reading God's word and, there's no revelation there, it just will not make sense to you. And I don't know if you guys have, had conversations with some people. There's learned people who have spent time reading God's word, and they know what the scriptures say. And if their eyes of their understanding are darkened, if their spirit, if they don't have a renewed spirit that gives them the ability to grasp the truths of God's word, this book sounds like utter nonsense to them. They just think it's foolishness. There might be some things that are good principles. Okay, that's a good idea. The golden rule. There might be some things that they get a hold of. But some of the things, like I have a couple written down here. Like when God says, through Paul in Ephesians, that we have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Right? We know that and we believe that as believers we have the same power in us that raised Jesus from the dead. Someone who doesn't have revelation, someone who doesn't have a renewed spirit, that just sounds like nonsense to them. Or here's another one. In John 14, Jesus says that we can do the same works and greater works than he did. That just sounds like silliness and nonsense to someone who doesn't have revelation, who's not perceiving that through their spirit. And that can happen to us if we're not careful to walk in spirit revelation, if we're not careful to let our spirits be the one calling the shots and let our spirits be the part of us that is responsible for receiving revelation and making sure that the mind is not the gatekeeper, that the body's emotions is not the gatekeeper for revelation knowledge coming in. We can get to that place as well where there's a contradiction between what we're seeing in God's word and what we're experiencing in our lives. And what will often happen if we let the let ourselves be ruled by the mind and our emotions, we'll look at God's word and say, well, that's not happening in my word, in God's word. It can't be true. And what happens is we let the mind call the shots. And if it's not happening in our lives, if we can't sense it with our physical senses, if we can't understand it with our mind, then we come to the conclusion, well, I guess it must mean something else. And it's not, it's bypassing the spirit, but the result is a lack of revelation in that area. And really, of course, we learned earlier, the end result is going to be fruitlessness or a lack of harvest in that area. And so it's this key of understanding spirit, soul, and body, I believe, that really gives us the ability to unlock everything that God has for us. And it's learning to rely on God's spirit inside of us to reveal truth to us, rather than our mind and our will and emotions. And here's how Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. Of course, in so many of his letters, he's addressing this new man and the old man and how he lived by God's Spirit. But I really like how he says it in 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to read 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 13. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he's trying to get them to see that they need to learn to trust God's Spirit over their own minds. They need to trust that Spirit of God that's inside them, and let that Spirit of God witness with God's Spirit, for them to be able to receive spiritual truth. So we'll start reading from verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. There you go. The enemy can't know your thoughts. No one can know your thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. For we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things he has freely given us. We can know the wonderful things that God's given us because our spirit has been joined with God's spirit, right? We have his spirit inside of us. So he knows our thoughts, we know our thoughts, he knows his own thoughts, and we can know his thoughts because we have his spirit inside of us. Verse 13, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So Paul and the other apostles, they weren't walking around saying, well, what can we possibly do today? They were just saying, Lord, you got to guide us. You got to lead us. You got to show us what to say to bring truth in this city that we're visiting or this region that we're going to visit. And Lord, we trust that you give us the Spirit's words to reveal Spirit truth. And we trust that the Spirit of God inside those that are listening to our words bears witness to that, and that they will receive that truth through their spirit. That transfer Here's the thing we got to understand, that transfer of revelation knowledge takes place. It's our spirit and God's spirit together, and our spirit will bear witness to it, and it'll bring revelation to our hearts. And then from that point on, it's a matter of letting our mind and our body receive it, letting our soul and our body receive that revelation knowledge that we've received. I believe that, spiritual truth, revelation knowledge, it has to come. It has to come through the Spirit. It has to be comprehended through God's Spirit. I was thinking of an example of this, because in the natural, if I'm looking for some knowledge about how to do something, how to fix something, I'll go to all kinds of sources. I was reminded as I was thinking about this, I had to fix an outboard motor in my boat. I got fishing examples because that's just the time of year it is. But I had to fix the outboard motor on my boat probably 3 years ago. And so what do you do when you need to fix something? I'm talking to people. So I'm talking to my dad, who's got maybe some mechanical experience. I'm talking to Bill. And I even phoned up Bill Bullock, right, who's a small engine mechanic. And he works on outboard motors. And then I'm on some internet forums, which are, talk about boat and boat motors. And then I go on YouTube, and I'm getting some information from YouTube. And I'm pulling this information from all kinds of people and all kinds of places. And I'm seeing what lines up, what information is being confirmed. And if someone says something that's kind of out there and I can't find another source to back it up, okay, well, I'll kind of set that on the shelf. And you kind of find a way forward to fix your boat motor. And actually, Bill helped me in this particular instance. And we spent a couple of evenings, and we got that boat motor running really well. But if we that same approach is not a great approach for spiritual things. That same approach of running around and trying to get everyone's opinion and looking on this forum or watching a bunch of YouTube videos and just kind of having this approach like, I'll just kind of take it all in and let it all come in and I'll see what sticks. That is using a fleshly or a natural approach to gaining spiritual wisdom. And as we're learning, God says he wants us to use our spirit to contact his spirit, receive revelation knowledge. And so that approach is really flawed. And what will happen oftentimes is, like Paul says, it just ends up being futile. We just end up being more confused. And the more people we talk to, we don't have a revelation in that area. It's so key to get into the Word of God and really let God's Word be the final authority. Let God's Word bear witness to our spirit. And really let that be our focus. And certainly, I'm not saying not talk to other believers, not talk to other people, but it's so key to, again, let the final authority be God's Spirit inside of us. Amen? Not our mind, not how we feel about it, but let our spirit be the final authority, God's Spirit inside of us. John 6:63 says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The Passion Translation says, the Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is no help. That which is of the natural realm is no help. So God's Word is that part that reveals spiritual reality in our lives. And if we want to find out what our spirit is like, then we need to go to God's Word to give us that revelation. We don't want to rely on our emotions, how we feel. Again, the natural realm is of no help. When you look at yourself in the mirror, are you actually seeing you? That's kind of a trick question. When you look at yourself in the mirror, is that actually you that you're seeing? You're seeing a reflection of yourself, right? You're standing in front of the mirror. Like, if the mirror is here, I'm not seeing me. I'm seeing a reflection of myself. I'm actually right here. What I'm seeing in the mirror is not me. It's a reflection. Now, of course, we learn to trust mirrors. Hopefully you trust mirrors anyway. So hopefully you get to the place where you trust that reflection. So if you have a turkey tail or if there's a piece of salad caught in your teeth or whatever you're seeing in that mirror, hopefully you trust that reflection and you do something about that, right? And most of us would trust the reflection that we see in a mirror. But the mirror, it just reveals a reflection of who we are. And God's Word, I believe, is just like that mirror. And God's Word reflect, this is an important key. God's Word reflects who we are in the Spirit. God's Word reveals who we are in the Spirit. It gives us a reflection of who we are in the Spirit. There's a scripture that's well known to us. This is in James 1:23-25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. James is just saying, you know, someone who hears God's word and doesn't do anything about it, he's like a man that goes and looks in a mirror and then he walks away and he forgets what he looks like. He doesn't even know what he looks like. He just looked in the mirror, he just saw that reflection of himself, but then he totally forgets what he looks like. And that would be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? But if we're people that hear the word and don't act on it and don't apply it in our lives, that's what James says we're like. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so the challenge for us is that we need to look into the mirror of God's word and trust that spiritual reality that we see. God's word, these words right here, they're a reflection of what our spirit man looks like. And we need to look in God's word and then make the choice to trust that reflection. Trust what it's saying about our lives. It's going to reflect that born-again spirit, that part of us that has been totally transformed. That's what we can learn about here in God's word. And it's our spirit that will confirm that truth as we spend time in God's word. Of course, that born-again spirit has been made in the image of Christ. We learn that it's received all the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. But it's not going to be able to help us and bring increase into our lives until it gets out of our spirit and into our body and our minds. It's that transforming process that happens as we learn to trust this reflection more so than the reflection that we see in the natural mirror, right? More so than the reflection where we see our body and we might see some of the things that we're struggling with or challenged with, or more so than how our emotions might be feeling at a particular point in time. When we get to the place where we trust this spiritual reality and what God says about our spirit, that's when revelation moves forward. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. So again, this verse is talking about our spirit. Our spirit is the new creation, but our, you know, with our soul, the old things didn't pass away. With our body, the old things didn't pass away. That's in process. And this is important to get a hold of, because if all that revelation knowledge that we receive from the Lord, if it's just in our spirit and it's not getting into our body and into our mind, if it's not getting into our soul, we could be in trouble, even as believers, even as people who have a relationship with Jesus, and we love Jesus, and we want to serve Him, and we want to please Him. But if there's revelation that we haven't been able to get a hold of, if there's revelation where the seeds of that revelation haven't been able to get deep inside of us to the point where our mind is able to understand it, our spirit first, and then our mind, and it begins to manifest in our body, we can be in trouble. We can, you know, we can have sickness and disease, or poverty and lack can come on us, or we can have relationship issues. There's all kinds of challenges that we could face in life, and it comes back to this aspect of our body and our mind being subject to the Spirit, living by the Spirit, living according to the new man rather than the old man. I read an illustration that said, you know, think of your soul like a valve on a faucet. Of course we know the valve on a water faucet, it turns water on and off, but it also controls the rate. It controls the flow of water that's coming out of that faucet. So, of course, you open it up more, and more water comes through the faucet. And if your mind is in agreement with the Word of God, then it's like that valve is wide open, right? And revelation is coming through, and you're receiving from God's word, and you're causing your body to come in line with God's word, and you're choosing to believe God's word over and above what your body is experiencing or what your mind is, you know, feeling like it understands. That valve is wide open, and we're receiving revelation. But you know, if our soul has unbelief or doubt, or if we're waiting for our mind to fully understand it, that's just kind of like that tap getting squeezed off, or that, you know, that tap getting turned down, and it'll slow down the flow of revelation in our lives. And so the challenge, and what I'm going to just leave you guys with today is, I just encourage you, keep the valve open. You know, let your spirit be the one that calls a shot. Let your spirit be the one that bears truth to the truths of God's word. Let your spirit be the one that bears witness to God's revelation. Keep that valve open. What'll happen when you keep that valve open? You'll experience healing, deliverance, abundance. I think just, you know, we started off talking about the full riches of God's understanding. When we keep the valve open, that's when we start to receive that full riches of God's understanding that He has for us. We didn't read this verse earlier, but I've said this before. This is one of my favorite verses. I don't know why it's one of my favorite verses, but it's just one that I often think about. This is 2 Peter 1:3. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. And of course, the New King James says He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. But by his divine power, he's given us everything we need. It's this understanding of spirit, soul, and body, and letting our spirit call the shots, not living according to the flesh, not living according to what our mind can only understand or the emotions that we're feeling, but choosing to live according to the spirit and say, Lord, I trust, you know, that my spirit will jump at that truth that you're trying to reveal to me. And even if my mind doesn't understand it, I'll just confess that I believe your word. I'll confess that your word is true. And I believe that your spirit will reveal to me everything that I need for life and godliness. Amen? Let's stand up and pray. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, we have received everything that we need for life and godliness. Lord, every truth, the answer to every problem, Lord, the solution to every challenge that we're facing, Lord, the breakthrough that we need in our lives, Lord, we have received that through Jesus, Lord. It is inside of us, Lord. We thank you that your Spirit lives inside of us, Lord. It gives us the ability to access that truth, to access that revelation, Lord. And so we declare at Solid Rock Church, Lord, that we are a people who walk in revelation knowledge. We are a people who walk in a fullness of the riches of understanding, Lord, that as you reveal yourself to us, Lord, that our spirits grab a hold of spirit truths, Lord. We purpose not to let our minds or our emotions, Lord, be the valve that would stop that flow of revelation, Lord. But we purpose to keep ourselves open to what you want to show us, what you want to reveal to us, Lord. We purpose to let our spirits, Lord, bear witness with your spirit, Lord. We purpose to let our spirit be the part of us, Lord, that is accessing spiritual truth. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us this way of receiving truth that can even bypass our mind and bypass how we're feeling, Lord. And so I even ask today, Lord, as we've spoken about this, Lord, that you would continue to reveal these truths to us, Lord, that we would understand, Lord, that your word is a reflection of our spirit man, that we can learn more about ourselves, we can learn more about who we are in Christ by spending time in your word, by letting the truth of your word just soak into our minds, Lord, and letting our minds be transformed so that our mind sees ourselves the way the Spirit of God sees us, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, that you have great things ahead of us for us, Lord, that you have great days ahead of us as we press into your word, as we study your word, as we meditate on your word, as we let our minds be transformed. We thank you, Lord, that you have revelation knowledge from us, ahead for us, Lord, and that revelation knowledge is going to bear fruit. It is going to bring increase in our lives, Lord. And so for every truth, Lord, that we are believing for everything that we are contending with or wrestling with, or for scriptures where we're saying, Lord, I don't quite get that, but show it to me, Lord. I declare that there is revelation knowledge in those areas, Lord. And I declare abundance and increase as that revelation is received and understood in our lives. Lord, I declare that we are a church, Lord, that receives 30, 60, and even 100% harvest on every seed of truth, Lord, that you wish to deposit in our lives. So we thank you, Lord, for it. In your mighty name, amen.